Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about some of the barriers to true spiritual realization. Listen as we explain apotheosis as the overcoming of the belief that there is something other than the one divine life. In this show, we will discuss the unreality of everything visible and tangible, along with invisible and tangible. Only spirit is real. John 20:17. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and rise. Swami, today's title of the show is Some Obstructions to Ascension. Why is it important that we understand what some of these obstructions might be?
I always think of what von Goethe said, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. False belief is possibly the greatest obstruction to spiritual realization. I really think that most of us have absolutely no idea or concept of what our potential is, nor what it would look like if I was doing it. And in Kriya Yoga, the term is avidya, or ignorance, and it means mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. We're learning that all is spirit, and what is visible and tangible or invisible and intangible is unreal. And so I think understanding the big picture, understanding what human potential is, and then also understanding what my responsibility is in being able to realize this truth about being, are all the things that we talk about, because it's not going to happen by itself. Like we have been saying, to think, breathe, drink, eat, sleep, fornicate, we survive, but we don't grow. And then there's always the possibility that we think we're growing and we're really not.
So you had mentioned earlier, most of us don't understand our possibilities. So in your opinion, how far do you think we can go as human beings?
Well, to the best of my understanding now, we can't go very far as a human being. We really have to put off the old man, as it says in the Bible. We have to put off the belief that we are a human being. We really have to accept spiritual identity. We have to understand that we're not a finite mortal creature, but we're an eternal spiritual being. And from that platform, once you grasp what that's going to entail, then hopefully it begins to inspire you to unlock your hidden potential.
So we understand that John ascended in the same manner that Jesus did. In other words, it seems like he took his body with him. And I think that's maybe a lofty goal for a lot of us to do in this time.
Yeah, conscious ascension, I think, is a huge aspiration that we really should be talking about it, I think. We're just so preoccupied and embroiled in our humanness, and we really don't have any kind of leadership that I would say to turn to today, because you can't really find your answers in science, you can't find your answers in religion, but you can find the answers in scripture if you understand how to interpret them. And so this is one of the reasons that we really talk about this stuff, is because it doesn't get that kind of exposure today. And I think that because the way we approach religion, the way we approach our lives, is all based on belief. We either believe that Jesus ascended or we believe that John ascended, rather than taking everything to this experiential level. Because I know in yoga, they always talk about the immortals. They talk about the teachers that never transitioned. And yet, where are they? So we really need role models. It's really helpful if you had experience and exposure to these masters. But if they're not there, you start with belief, but then you really want to graduate to faith and then eventually to this level of understanding. You want to prove the presence of these laws of spiritual truth.
You had mentioned earlier the term avidya, which means ignorance. Can we just go a little bit deeper with that? Like, what are some of the main things that we are, as humans, that we are ignorant of?
Well, I think we're really ignorant of the presence of the truth. We're ignorant of the divine creation. We're completely secular in our approach to this human experience. Now, the more that I work with it and the more that I start to understand how it's all working, avidya, or ignorance, is really found in the term that they used was sin. Sin is missing the mark. Sin really means we've cast our nets on the wrong side of the boat. We're believing this human experience is real. And so as a result of that, we're in this cycle of death and rebirth. We're under the law of karma. And we're looking for liberation. We're looking how to come out of that. And the wisdom, I think, is found in scripture. One of the things in Kriya Yoga that we talk about are seven chakras. Now, I also found if you read the Bible and you read revelations in the Bible, it gives you a really nice account for these chakras. In yoga, we call them energy centers or energy converters. The more I understand it, I really like to call them thought windows. They are thought windows in consciousness where individual thought is the same as the divine idea. Paul Stark Seeley said, "The connection is found in the thought unity between the real man and divine mind." Now, the real man is identity. It's identity that has been loosened from a material basis and attached to spirit. Yoga means union with the divine. This whole thing of separating from matter or separating from the physical world, separating from fear and limitation, and then rejoining with spirit, rejoining with truth and wholeness, whatever it is that you call it. We have to come out of matter and mind and then attach to spirit, the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. And these seven chakras kind of give us a template to work with. That if you have a diagram and you understand that there's not just one thought window, but there's seven thought windows, that this unveiling of this truth can happen in degrees. But in the framework of doing it, we really have to understand the obstructions. What are the shades? What is preventing this spiritual light from dawning on my understanding of myself?
So I think that's something we should probably delve a little bit further into. So are you saying that each of these seven chakras are responsible for how we should be thinking or what we should be thinking about?
Well, I think the chakras represent our potential. These are our spiritual capacities. They are spiritual gifts. For those of us that have an understanding of how to turn away from what it is that is distracting us, from believing in the obstructions, and then starting to have attention for this source of information, source of life that is within consciousness instead of drawing from what is outside of ourselves.
So can we talk more about the phrase you had said earlier, that chakras were like these energy converters? So are we looking for a conversion here?
Yeah, we're definitely looking for a conversion. We definitely want to think differently. And the conversion we're talking about is found in the statement in Revelations in the Bible, take a letter to the church. Now, the church is Lord's house. The church is divine consciousness within you. And it can mean turn your attention to the divine inspiration within you and ignore or turn away from the stimulation of the senses. Because just as white light going through a prism breaks off into seven colors of the spectrum, the divine idea goes through the lens of the mortal mind and it breaks off into seven thought windows. So the concept that we've been talking about is stop thinking, start knowing. Because the minute we start thinking, we are refracting the divine idea that the Word of God, the creative principle of this universe, is right here and it's right now. But we have to turn away from thinking and living out from the information that's coming from our corporeal senses, and we want to start to have awareness for the invisible, intangible, divine inspiration that's right here. And as that spiritual light begins to dawn on us, and we graduate from living out from corporeal senses, and we start to cultivate spiritual sense, we will have attention for it. Like we have been saying, consciousness is experience. If we are conscious of things that are coming through our finite material senses, then we are going to have finite material mortal experiences. But if we are conscious of what is coming through immortal consciousness, the immortal divine principle of the universe, then we are going to have spiritual experiences.
Well, let's talk more about these thought windows or these chakras.
Here's something from the Bible. John 1:51, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man means angels are divine ideas. They're the divine thoughts. And Jesus is promising Nathanael here, he will see them. And it's the Christ that makes these divine ideas or the Word of God intelligible to the human consciousness. So it's really the promise of the Christ Jesus is referring to here. What we're talking about is the Son of Man receiving divine information within, divine inspiration, and realizing true spiritual identity, which is the real man that Paul Stark Seeley was talking about. We need this conversion. We have to go from material identity all the way to spiritual identity in order for us to open the channels of communication with the divine creation.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul.
and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So I'd still like to get back to talking about these 7 thought windows and more about the obstructions. Can you give us some more information about these?
Yeah, the 7 chakras or the 7 churches in Revelation, or I really like what you said, thought windows. And then we have to look at the 7 shades preventing the spiritual light. And these obstructions are time, space, concept, belief, thinking, human will, and personal sense. Most of us, that wouldn't even occur to us. This is what we have to come out of, because, like I said earlier, Jesus says, sin no more. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is really drawing your energy from this material world. And we have our back to the divine creative principle, which is within. It's within our consciousness. One of the things I've started to work with are the antidotes to these barriers, which I found from Christian Science, what Mary Baker Eddy used as 7 terms for God. So they would be principle, soul, life, love, mind, truth, and spirit. All of this has to be understood spiritually. See, we can't bring forth the divine image with a mortal mind, with our material senses. We have to graduate to spiritual sense, which means that we have to activate these chakras. If we're not living out from soul sense, we're living out from the mind-body complex, which is drawing from fear and limitation. And the physics of spirituality is always going to be like attracts like. And if we draw from fear and limitation, that's what we become. And so we have to make this conversion, convert from a human being that's drawing and living off of this world to a human being that draws and lives off of spirit, spiritual life. And time, space, concept, belief. How do you dissolve that? And how does spirit or the Christ, spiritual understanding, dissolve that? And the way that it does is we really have to understand how the human mind doesn't work. The human mind is a false counterfeit of the divine mind. It's a reflection. It's just like when you're looking at your reflection in a mirror across the room. It's very easy for you to look at that and to be able to say, well, there's no life, there's no truth, intelligence, or substance in that image. That's what this entire human experience is. It's a reflection. It's not real. And we have to give ourselves a half a turn. In a very similar way, if you look in the mirror, your face is dirty, you can wash the mirror until the cows come home. It's not going to clean your face. We have to turn, think differently. What you're looking for is going to be very different than what you expect it to be because it's not dualistic. Spirit is whole. In corporeal sense, in material sense, there's time, which means there's now and there's then. But in spirit, spirit is eternal. It's unchanging. In spirit, everything is in the eternal now. So 500 years ago or 500 years from now is now in spirit. Space in corporeal sense, in duality, there is here and there. But in spirit, everything is here.
Well, let's continue then. What do we need to understand about concept? How is that an obstruction? How would we get over that?
I really like the term that Mary Baker Eddy uses when she says human conjecture. Human conjecture is trying to form a conclusion with incomplete information. And so what we do on a human level with our mortal senses is that we're working with incomplete information. Anything that reports in our human senses is only approximation of what is there. The human mind cannot bring forth the divine image. The divine image is whole, it's complete. And so we're looking at this divided consciousness. We're looking at incomplete information. And then we come to these conclusions. And so these concepts that we work with, say, for example, mathematics, without the understanding of the absolute, all our sciences really fail. Mathematics gets you to a certain point, and then it has to fill in with clauses that makes it seem like it proves out scientifically. But it really doesn't. As we come further and further away from duality and a belief in two powers, we start to see things from the perspective of the absolute. Now you've got something that you can work with, but it's going to take you out of time, out of space, and now you're going to have to move out of concepts, which is then going to bring you to the next one, which is belief. The entire human experience is driven by belief. Human life is not self-existent. Human life is a branch cut off from the vine. It's withering.
Let's move to the next one, the thinking. How is that an obstruction?
Yeah, thinking is what we do with our corporeal senses, our mortal mind. We're able to form thoughts and opinions based on the information that's coming to us from our material senses. And whether we realize it or not, it's a huge barrier to knowing the truth. It creates an interference pattern that doesn't have attention for the divine creation. And so we have to stop thinking in order to activate our spiritual sense. Even at that, stopping thinking is not enough. It's not just, say, for example, in mathematics, the number zero. If you take any number and you multiply it by zero, you get zero. But if you do the same thing with addition, you wind up with the same number that you just added it to. So the process here is also an important thing because we're really looking for a zero sum. We want to multiply, which means that you don't just stop thinking, start knowing. In this process, you make your mind an avenue of awareness for the divine creation, the divine idea that's right here. And the only thing that initially we know about it is that it doesn't report in our corporeal senses. And so we're actually making our mind aware for what is invisible and intangible, for nothing. But now we have to make sure what we're focusing on, what we think is spirit. Again, coming back to what Mary Baker Eddy says, we live above corporeal sense and correct it, that consciousness is experience. And if I'm conscious of the divine creation, then my experiences must have the qualities of the divine. And if they don't, then go back to how am I thinking?
Well, the last two we have is human will and personal sense. So how are those in obstructions, and what are some examples of those?
Using the words that are the antidotes, principle is the antidote for time, soul is the antidote for space, life is the antidote for concept, love is the antidote for belief, mind is the antidote for thinking, truth becomes the antidote for human will. And spirit would be the antidote for personal sense. Human will is a belief that I am a finite mortal being. It's a belief in matter, personal sense. It is the outcome of somebody individuated from the world mind. the divided consciousness, the counterfeit. It's a false sense of existence. And as we're coming up through these thought windows and this spiritual light is dawning on us, we start to see there's only one life and it's perfect. And we're looking at a creation that doesn't require anything needed to be added to it or taken away from it. And human will is driven by fear. Fear is a defense mechanism for this false sense of who we think we are. And it's a belief in two powers. And as long as we believe in a second life, as long as we believe in something other than the one divine life, absolute goodness that's right here and right now, we're in that cycle of death and rebirth. Without trying, striving, struggling, or planning, just letting this truth express itself through you is the way that you want to do that.
Well, I'm wondering if you'd give us an example of why we don't demonstrate this divine consciousness.
You know, I always think about a line in one of his songs. Jackson Brown wrote a song called Before the Deluge. Two of the lines in the song are, "And their hands, they reach for the golden ring. With their hearts, they turn to each other's heart for refuge." Now, for me, the hand is a Mercury image, meaning your material mind reaching for the divine idea. And the heart, which is the seat of the soul or spiritual wisdom, turns to material means and not the divine idea. So there's this interference pattern that happens that we have to have this element of purity. Like we say in Kriya Yoga, purity is your ability to think, feel, say, do one and the same thing. We must love God, which means that we have to be completely addicted to what is invisible and intangible. And if we're not, and if we're reaching for what is visible and tangible, or even what is invisible and tangible, then it can't prove out because there's no physics there.
Well, I see we have a quote from Mary Baker Eddy's Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. This is probably a good time to maybe share that with our listeners.
Yeah, the quote that we have here is, "If spirit or the power of divine love bear witness to the truth, this is the ultimatum. The scientific way in the healing is instantaneous." That's from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 411, line 10. The way that we would interpret that is, what you know to be true about God is not the science that she's talking about. But what God knows to be true about you as God is science. We have to graduate from personal sense into this impersonal spiritual identity. There is but one life in this universe, and it's absolutely perfect. It's whole, it's complete, and it's fulfilled.
Now, earlier you had talked about sin, but what do you think Jesus means when he talks about sin?
Well, Jesus said to the cripple, "Sin no more." And we need to understand, sin means that we are casting our nets on the wrong side of the ship. We're accepting the information from our material senses, which is duality and a belief in two powers, which will violate spiritual law.
Well, we're going to have to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're on the homepage and you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio, just click that. That will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then also by clicking on the Products tab, then Online Classes directs you to all the classes that Swami may have available for you. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and rise. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.